Okay, we are now going out on our newsmaker line and bring in my good friend, one of the best in the business, John Kincaid, of course, hosts the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can hear him nationally as well as he's covered the Falcons for 20 years. John, thanks for joining us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Happy birthday to you, first of all.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that very much.
And that is very good. And you didn't put in there unemployed in local radio temporarily.
I did mention earlier that you had a run over 20 plus years with Buck with Buck and Kincaid in Atlanta. I did mention.
Oh, wait a minute. I had a run of 20 years. Had an anniversary party for the show celebrating our 20 years. And 8 days later became a COVID cut because I made too much money.
Oh.
What the hell? What the hell could 2020 throw at me worse than that?
Yes.
I mean, it's so you never know, though. I think 2021 is going to be pretty exciting, though. I think there's some big news going to be coming soon.
They did. So. And one other thing I have to do, because we heard so much about her on your show, was you lost your mother, Betty. And I want to give you our sincere condolences. I know she lived a very good, long life, but I just want to give you those condolences as well.
And she loved your town more than anything in the world. She would come to Vegas with us every year. And before she was in her 90s, you know, she celebrated her 90th birthday at the Bellagio.
Yes.
And shout out to all my friends, MGM, you know, family out there. She celebrated her 90th out there, and we had a great, great time, and she was a great lady. She loved your town, and she went to Vegas many, many times, even without me and my family. She loved it. She loved the casinos. She loved playing the slots. She loved a good cocktail. She loved a good meal, and she loved a good party, and she loved football, too. One of the last conversations that I remember before she started to slip away was bitching and complaining about watching an Eagles game. So I felt like that was something on her way out. She lived like she lived the majority of her life, except for 2018.
That's awesome. That's great. But
it was good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. All right, so let's get on to the Falcons now, because with the Raiders going down there, the Raiders, the big emotional loss here at home on Sunday Night Football. They played well, but they came up short against the Kansas City Chiefs. They go down to face the Falcons, a franchise really at a crossroads, right? Raheem Morris steps in. Yeah, or whatever.
They're standing in the middle of the train track. they ignored the little sign that says stay back of the arm. They're in the train tracks. This is a franchise in deep doo-doo we approach Thanksgiving.
Well, John, they jettisoned Quinn and Dimitroff, right, as a GM.
Yes.
What has happened to this franchise after Super Bowl 51?
What happened is that it was a curse. And honestly, I scoffed when people suggested that Dan Quinn shouldn't have continued after that Super Bowl. I said, you've got to be kidding me. You can't send a man packing just because he lost the Super Bowl. But honestly, it was one of the three or four worst losses in the history of the NFL in the fact that that blown lead, the amount of time that was on the clock. And there were people who thought he lost that room. Now, I don't cover the team enough where I can tell you I talked to players that gave me that information or otherwise. But their actions certainly showed that. Their actions of following his leadership, following his guidance, certainly went out the window from the time Super Bowl 51. Now, the next year wasn't terrible, but they struggled with inconsistency, which was part of his whole resume. Since then, this is a team with a crisis of confidence. They see a lead on the board, and they figure, what are we going to do to let it slip away? It's a franchise that is top-heavy, real top-heavy, in the salary cap department. In fact, they've got a monumental job in front of them. This isn't a team on the rise. This isn't a team that is just spunky with a lot of fight. They're very, very talented, and they're underachievers, and that's the real identity here. And if the Raiders let them hang around, and the Raiders don't do what the Raiders can do, from what I've witnessed this year, the Raiders could lose this game.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. John Gruden talked today and said that, you know, they're probably the best 3-7 team in the league. And that's not a backhanded compliment. It's the truth. I mean, the guys can go get after it offensively. What have you seen since Raheem Morris has taken over as the interim head coach that may be different and maybe helpful to the Falcons as opposed to when Dan Quinn was in charge?
I think Raheem Morris understands that if you have a 7 o'clock dinner appointment, you get there at 6:55 to make sure you make your reservation. Dan Quinn's clock management was absolutely atrocious. I wouldn't, honestly, as such a good guy and a guy who could really energize people and could sort of put a smile on people's faces, I honestly wouldn't hire him on Olivia Munn's dog walker app because because he could not handle the 60 minutes on Sunday. I would say it over and over again. If you're talking about building a culture, if you're talking about creating an energy about your franchise, Quinn was really, really good at that. And I think Raheem sort of follows in that same mold. But Dan Quinn's worst hour of the week was the 60 minutes you put on the clock every single weekend. And that's unacceptable. You can't be the leader of men. And then when given the responsibility to be able to walk them through the weekly battle that you prepared for, that you purportedly planned for, to consistently gag in critical situations, completely unacceptable. And it's why I don't believe Dan Quinn will ever get a chance to be a head coach again. But a linebacker coach, something like that, or a coach in college, a coordinator in college, I mean, the defense was the worst part of his teams. It was the worst part of his teams, what it was supposed to be his specialty. So I don't even know if someone's going to trust him to be able to do something like that. So Raheem Morris steps in, handles the clock a little better. But look, this team is the same team. They're paper thin, and they have a crisis of confidence whenever they're punched in the mouth.
I have a quick question for you, looking past this week, because you do such a great job covering Atlanta. There's a coming Armageddon, according to one NFL mental management team. That's what he called it to me. The salary cap's going to take a huge drop next year.
Sure.
And he mentioned to me that one team that's going to be dismantled probably is Atlanta, because they're going to have to cut a lot of weight to get below the cap. Do you think that's something that's being discussed in the upper management offices?
Oh, I guarantee it. The question, though, is Rich McKay, who is the president now of the franchise, is sort of overseeing things for the moment. I wonder about who's qualified enough to lead them out of this mess that they've built for themselves. Mm. When they continually doubled down. Julio Jones got a new contract, and then he demanded a renegotiation, and then he got another renegotiation on his contract. This contract he's on right now, they've renegotiated it twice. And Julio Jones is a guy who doesn't practice, flat out. And you can talk about all his talent, and you can talk about everything that Julio Jones can do in the highlight films, moves that he can make. But Julio Jones is a guy who practices at his convenience. Julio Jones is a guy who followed the country club routine that Tony Gonzalez had here. I'll practice when I want, and I'll show up on Sundays, and I'll play. And they continually gave him pay raises for it, even though he hasn't been productive in the touchdown numbers compared to the other greats of the game that he's constantly compared to. He has trouble finding the end zone. He takes himself out of games, too, far too often. Matt Ryan, great. You know, Matt Ryan's been great for this franchise, maybe one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise. But again, they're tied to guys that are older, that they're not going to be able to cut loose. You can't get rid of Matt Ryan. You can't get rid of Julio Jones. You can't get rid of either one of them without the dead money on next year's cap putting you in an incredible deficit. They're going to be horrendous if they made a move like that, because I don't know what kind of roster they'd be able to, you know, function with. So they are, at least for 2021, I believe, screwed. To not use a more operative term, I believe, screwed.
Again, we're talking to John Kincaid of the John Kincaid Show. You can hear on CBS Sports nationally. He's based in Atlanta. I'm sorry, Honda, you had another question, a follow-up for John?
Yeah, John, I wanted to ask you about Darqueze Dennard. He's a really good friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years, and he's a hard worker. How has he impacted Atlanta?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. There's few bright spots. can you say that this team has very few bright spots? Yep. But Dennard could be one of those guys. Now, he's, you know, he injured reserve earlier on in the season, and a guy who potentially could end up being, you know, one of their, let's put it this way, effective in the future for this franchise. But that's one of the things that they're going to that's one of the things that they're going to need. They're going to need more guys like him to be able to step up and be surprises. But and also going to need good health. That's what Dennard's going to need.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Excellent. John, question for you, too. So going into this game, if we focus on the game with the Raiders, you mentioned if the Raiders allow the Falcons to hang along too much, then they could find themselves in a tough situation. As you know, the Raiders' defense is really struggling with pass rush. What are they going to have to do in order to contain Matt Ryan and really make sure that that doesn't happen?
Well, the strange thing is that I believe you're going to get enough push up front. That this Falcons offensive line is not, you know, a truly effective unit. They have moments, And Matt Ryan gets rid of the ball so fast that he sort of can overcome the blemishes that this franchise has got. But I believe the Raiders are going to be able to get some push up front. And if they're getting that, it's just a matter of time before they're going to be able to get at least close to Ryan, whether it's just making him uncomfortable, moving him off his spot. Look, Matt's getting older, and man, Matt's not as nimble, not that he was ever that nimble, but he's not as nimble as he once was. To me, I think this is a really good spot for the Raiders to get healthy. I think it's a really good spot. But, again, the more daylight you give the Falcons, and the Falcons are going to shoot themselves in the foot a couple times. That's what's going to happen. And are you going to take advantage of those short fields? Are you going to take advantage of those opportunities? Or are you going to let them hang around? And if you let them hang around, this Falcons team absolutely can be victorious.
Speaking of getting some push up front, the Raiders just recently signed a couple of former Falcons. You know, Tack McKinley is one. He's been released and released multiple times this year. And then, Vic Beasley. One, what went wrong with those guys in Atlanta? And two, what are the Raiders getting in those guys, in your opinion?
Okay, the only thing that Tack McKinley is consistent with is getting released. That's the only thing where he's shown any kind of consistency in his entire career. He'll show you a glimpse. He'll disappear for 3 weeks. In fact, he's on next week's Netflix Unsolved Mysteries. I understand. It's how he could be. You know. And then, let's get to Vic Beasley. Don't even get me started on Vic Beasley. Because Vic Beasley, I've never seen a guy get paid that showed up then with more laissez-faire, everything's cool, dude. It'll all be okay. And his 15.5 sacks in the Super Bowl season are the most empty-calorie, useless stat that has ever been attributed to an NFL player.
Wow.
If you look at the stats, there were, I believe, 12 of his 15.5 sacks came where the Falcons were up by two scores in the second half of games, where it was tee off, you got the big lead, now get after the opposing quarterback. Mm. Other than that, he was anonymous in his Falcons career. He was a non-factor. And for both of those guys, look, Mike Mayock is a guy who I definitely respect, and I think he always is going to rummage through. Mike Mayock walks into the Walmart, sees the 99-cent CD bin, and starts fishing through it for 2 hours because he believes he's going to find people. Gruden believes they're going to find people, diamonds in the rough. Guess what? These two are just the rough. There's no diamond. There's nothing to polish up on either one of these guys.
Wow, yeah. No, I mean,
it is.
Not that I'm that spirited on that topic or anything. I don't want to.
Yeah, you saw it firsthand. John Kincaid, thanks, man, for being with us. Appreciate you giving us some insight into the Falcons, and we certainly appreciate everything you do. Look forward to what's coming up next, and also listening to you on the weekends, man. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I will see you in Vegas next summer without a mask.
Let's hope that's true, man. We all need that.
All right, take care of yourself.
As you know.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys.
All right, same to you, John, and your family.
Thanks
very much. All right, there you go, John Kincaid. John's always good for some one-liners, man. He's a pro.
Yeah, good stuff.
He's a pro.
Good stuff right there.
He's a pro.
I'll tell you, though, the thing he said that was probably the biggest statement is if the Raiders allow this team to hang around.
Yep.
They can get you and bite you.
Yep, and that's why they got to come out with their foot on the throat and never let up. They got to go. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by attorney Michael Troiano, of course, sponsors here on the show on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. We're going to talk to him about Thanksgiving and football. We're also going to talk a little bit about COVID. You know, Michael is a criminal defense attorney, right? And so we have all these new rules. What happens if some of us break them? What do they do? What does it mean for us when it comes to the court of law? He'll tell us coming up next here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.